This is Morning Edition on KSJD. Good morning. I'm Austin Cope. Avalanches kill an average of 42 people each year in North America. According to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, hundreds more are injured. Avalanches don't just happen to extreme athletes. They can actually happen to anyone who is out underneath a steep snow-covered slopes. And many avalanche victims don't know they're in avalanche danger and are unprepared to deal with an avalanche. However, this doesn't have to happen, according to the state. The avalanche danger signs are usually obvious to those who know what to look for. Avalanche instructor and backcountry mountain guide Michael Ackerman has scheduled a few presentations on avalanche safety in our area this week. He'll be in Dolores at the Dolores Public Library at 6:30 p.m. tonight, and also at 6:30 on Friday at the Dolores Search and Rescue Headquarters next to the fire station. He'll also be in Cortez tomorrow at Cocopelli Bike and Board at 6:30 p.m. as well. He joins me here in the studio now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Austin. Thanks for having me.
These trainings are called Know Before You Go.
Correct.
What does it mean to know before you go?
Oh, that's a great question. Essentially, Know Before You Go is a template. It's a five-step template that we want anybody who lives in, around, under, travels through mountains with snow to know about. Those five steps are get the gear, get the training, get the forecast, get the picture, and my favorite, get out of harm's way.
Wow, okay. So there's probably a lot that you're able to talk about with each of those, but what are the most important parts?
First, I think the bedrock of the Know Before You Go program is accessibility. This is not hard snow science. This is not some scary gloom and doom warning to stay out of the mountains. Basically, this template encourages people to be thinking about five particular areas. I think if I was to value one step more than the others, if you're going to put yourselves in avalanche country, getting the training and knowing what to look for is great. These awareness programs, these presentations that we'll be doing over the next couple evenings here in Montezuma County and Dolores County, are basically the foundation of any avalanche training a recreationalist or a professional would get in the United States. And I think it's great that both the state of Colorado and the state of Utah, and specifically the Friends of the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, have kind of funded this initiative to get the word out. Here in southwestern Colorado, we've experienced avalanche incidents and fatalities, and that's super sad. We had a historic snowfall, historic winter last year, and we had 80 people get caught in avalanche incidents across the state. Nine of those were complete burials, and we only had one fatality. So, you know, were we lucky? Are we getting better? Regardless, the name of this game is outreach and just kind of letting folks know what's going on out there. This is where we live.
So for those listeners who, say, are not like avid backcountry skiers or snowmobilers or people who are used to looking for avalanches, how do you know when you're in avalanche country?
Sure. Well, basically, avalanche events is just snow falling down the mountainside. So the first thing we're looking for is snow. And this winter, this winter we're feeling pretty safe out there.
Yeah, let's talk about that in a second.
Yeah, absolutely. But through this program, this Know Before You Go program, we give folks five red flags to look for. So, you know, nothing in the backcountry that happens quickly is ever good, whether it's rapid snowfall, rapid temperature change, rapid, you know, recreationalists falling down the hillside. Nothing that happens fast out there is good. We look for evidence of previous avalanches, melts, freezes, and thaws. You know, what I like about this, in addition to being a skier, is that this sport, whether you're a hunter, a snowmobiler, a backcountry skier, you're out there trying to be connected to the kind of the natural systems and cycles. So even when it's a low snow year like this year, you're still watching, you know, where is the snow falling? Where is it persisting? Where is it melting? Where am I seeing animal tracks? That type of stuff. So it's for anybody who's not into it, it's just the bottom line is it's getting out and keeping your eyes open and knowing what to look for.
Right, because also, I mean, snow can also seem pretty soft and fluffy, you know, and like, what is so dangerous about avalanches in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, people may be wondering that.
Absolutely, and it's a natural dynamic process, and so that snow that's really fluffy can be joined by another storm, let's say, that's not so fluffy, you know, a heavy wet storm. And as a professional, you know, what I do is I read that story of the winter over time. I'll cut into the snowpack and I'll read those different storms like chapters in a book. And oftentimes you can have scenarios that tip the balance, that make a slope unstable.
What's an example of that?
You know, we joke a lot in the avalanche world about the upside down cake scenario. So think of your birthday cake where you have like the nice thick, you know, contents of the cake, and then you put the frosting on it, and then you put the candles. Flip that cake upside down so that the whole entire cake was on top of those candles. It may stay resting like that, but something, whether it's another snowstorm or more cake materials, or, you know, an elk walking across the slope, or a backcountry recreationalist, you know, it tips the balance. You find those layers, that cake collapses under its own weight. And if you're on a slope greater than 30 degrees in mountainous terrain, you're probably going for a ride.
Getting back to the fact that we have very little snow right now up in the mountains this season, how big of an influence does that have on avalanche?
It has a great influence once we load up a true winter on top of what's happening right now. So I heard you talking this morning, Austin, on the way over here. You know, we had months like September and October that gave us more precipitation than currently we've had in December. That snow that persists, that hangs out from those early storms, sits on the north, northwest, northeast faces. In layman's terms, we call it rotten snow. It's just sitting around getting rotten. When winter finally comes to the San Juan Mountains, which it will, I promise, we'll throw the switch here in a second, we're going to load up winter on top of kind of those rotting snow patches. And come January, when we have that upside down cake scenario, or we have a delicate balance in play, it's going to be nice to know where those patches were, where that snow was, because those slopes will present differently than, say, 3 feet of December snow that just falls on a grassy meadow. And this is a little bit into the weeds of snow science here, but we really it's really about following that story, trends over time.
How big of a difference is that, you know, to have this, what you call rotting snow on the slopes now versus if we'd gotten 3 feet of powder in November?
Sure. Colorado's always going, this location specifically in Colorado, we're always going to have pretty rotten snow on the bottom of our snowpack. You dig down, you're going to see, we call them faceted crystals. They're always going to be there. The tricky part is when we don't know where they are, if they're on some slopes or other slopes, you know, now you're trying to roll the dice. Is this a slope that has a bed surface that I should be aware of? So a lot of my time as a professional right now is spent out in the backcountry, and I'm putting GPS markers on where are these slopes? Because we don't have X-ray vision. And if I'm working with students or clients up in January and everything is 4 feet of snow, I can look back at my notes and I can see, oh, hey, this had a big patch of snow since late August that never went away. Maybe should watch our step here. So that's how we use that information, tracking tens over time. And again, it's that connection. It's a reason to be out in the backcountry.
So for the people who cannot make it to your trainings coming up this week, who still are interested in going into the backcountry or going into snow areas where avalanche danger may be an issue, to summarize, what are the biggest things to look for?
Again, the biggest things to be looking for are recent snowfall, anything happening quickly, temperature increase or decrease, wind. Anywhere where we have large amounts of snow, especially this season, on slopes that are greater than 30 degrees can cause us problems. And everybody's itching to ride, everybody's itching to climb, snowmobile. I get it, but if it's large enough to ride, it's big enough to slide, and you're probably going to come off that tongue of snow into un-snow-covered terrain, rocks, boulders. It'd be a heck of a ride. It doesn't sound any fun. So be careful, for sure.
Michael Ackerman is an avalanche instructor and backcountry mountain guide. There's a few presentations that he's giving on avalanche safety in our area this week. He's in Dolores at the Dolores Public Library tonight at 6:30 p.m., and at the Dolores Search and Rescue Headquarters next to the fire station on Friday. He'll also be in Cortez tomorrow at Cocopelli Bike and Board, also at 6:30 p.m. Michael, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.